Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download.
This is Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Some people say I look like me dad. What? Are you serious?
Ken Laird is joining us live from JetBlue Park. This is a request of Ken, Bewitched.
Is it really?
C'est la vie.
I've never heard this, but I kind of like it.
It's a banger. Good morning, Ken.
Let me see if I can do the Dino properly. Hello, my friends. Good morning.
How is
Curtis
it?
Will know that reference. Once recreated Dino from a park bench in spring training, so put me in the mood.
So just a quick aside on that, and I don't think I've ever asked Ken. So the night before we did that, I came up with the idea, as Ken will note, idea guy, not great at follow-through, but good ideas. Every year at the end of spring training, John Dennis would want a round table. So it was like Gordon Eads, Ian Brown, Steve Buckley, all answering the same question for an hour because Dino just wanted to get ready to go home. And am I about right about that, Ken?
Correct.
Okay. And so I thought it would be funny to go back and get Dino questions from roundtables of years prior because John had left the show. And then Jerry and Kirk and I would be down there, and they could have – it would be like John was there.
Part of the show.
So Jerry –
two-part questions?
Well, you know those. So Jerry was – the plan was like – Jerry's like, look at this. We were going to promote – we had a big mystery guest. You know, we weren't on Twitch at the time, so you couldn't see anything.
Perfect.
And Ken back in Brighton was going to have all of these great questions lined up ready to go and some – off-the-cuff Dino. So, like, you know, they say, John, welcome back. And it would be like, hello, my friends, good morning.
So you were the original AI. This would be
right.
An AI interview.
But for some reason, Ken only had, outside of the questions he expertly found, he only had the off-the-cuff Dino saying, hello, my friends, good morning.
Over and over again.
And it was so bad, it became one of the funniest bits I've ever been a part of. But anyway, how are you, Ken?
I'm well, and speaking of Dino, I just talked to a gentleman who plays golf with John Dennis 3 days a week down here, so Dino is doing well up in Sarasota. He had moved over from Miramar Lakes, but I'm in a good mood. It's hard to come down here and not be in a good mood. 85 degrees. I just watched the future catcher of the Red Sox, Kyle Teal, rake in the cages. Just took some BP myself. So I'm
how'd
in a
that
good
go?
Place.
Whoa, how'd that go?
I'll post the video later. Not great. Not horrible. A couple out of the infield.
Oh, nice. You know. Launch angle was good and everything?
No, launch angle. I was rolling it over. A lot of four-three putouts.
What was more embarrassing, Greg's first pitch in Worcester or your batting practice?
Oh, Greg's first pitch stands alone.
Okay,
it stands alone.
What's the vibe down there? What's the vibe of the team? Everybody, how's the front office? They've been happy with everything, and how's everything going?
Well, I've only been here for a day and a half, but I did see coming in Nick Pivetta, not lying, yelling at one of his fellow pitchers. He's taking on the leadership role. Apparently was actually like following the guy down the path. Don't turn away from me. Don't run away from me. So he's in game mode. Today's like a prospect game. So we're just going to see some of the young stars. And that's going to be a lot of the season, I think. I mean, it's going to be watching the minors for Teal, Marcelo Meyer, and Roman Anthony to come up through and hoping Duran and Cassis take off. But otherwise, it's Joe Castiglione's Hall of Fame year and Doug Lane back for a 35th year as well in the booth. So we're all in a pretty good mood.
No disrespect to Joe Castiglione, but if you're sort of hyping the season up based on your radio play-by-play guy, might be a tough year. But I actually love today's game. This, what do you call it, a breakout game, breakout stars day, whatever the hell it's called. To me, this is what they should have been doing all along. They finally got to the message they should be sending other than full throttle. Patriots, maybe take some notes here as to what you're doing, because I actually think this is fun. This is what spring training should be. Like, I can watch all these names that I've heard about, probably haven't seen much, if at all, other than I checked the stats. Did you know that Marcelo Meyer is batting 1,000 in spring training?
How many hits?
One.
Okay.
It's one at-bat with the big club, I'm assuming, based on ESPN stats. But isn't this what this year is all about today? Like, this game, and when I go from today to when will I see that guy again?
Yep. No, you're right. And Sidon Rafaela, and really Duran and Casas are kind of prospects too. I mean, and they'll obviously start.
Whoa! Casas is the 65th best player in baseball according to ESPN. Prospect over expectation here.
But they're young guys. It's a young core that, you know, they haven't signed him, but hopefully they build around and put their money where their mouth is there. But you're right. If they would have announced that's the plan instead of full throttle, everybody would have probably been in a better place.
Yeah.
Under promise, over deliver.
That's what I always do with Ken. And so, Ken,
your theory on life, right?
Right.
Whether
right.
it's your wife, your whoever.
I over-deliver everything. Ken, so I know you haven't had a chance yet because you were down there, you know, gallivanting in the streets of Naples last night. But the final two episodes are out of the Dynasty. And one thing will further cement the thoughts by Patriots fans and media that this was in some way a Kraft hit piece on Bill. Episode 9 begins with the President of the United States, then Republican nominee for President, Donald Trump, on the eve of Election Day, reading the letter that Bill Belichick wrote him. They talk about the kneeling, obviously, and Devin McCourty speaks eloquently about how he felt that Bill Belichick had really wronged the locker room and that he always said, don't give anybody anything, and here he was injecting himself into a political conversation, which in no way benefited the team. McCourty mentioned briefly that the three most important people in the organization all supported Trump, and Brady with the hat, Robert, and Bill. That's the only Robert and Trump mention. When in reality, if you're talking about actual support for the soon-to-be president, Robert Kraft gave, I believe, $1 million to the inauguration ball. Like, you're talking, and it was completely omitted from the episode.
Yeah, that's actually the only part of episode 9 and 10 that I did see. I watched some on the Amtrak. We had a media conference Wednesday, and before my Wi-Fi kicked out, I did see that part of it. In their defense, I guess, they were kind of trying to frame it as Bill said never bring the outside stuff to the, you know, into the locker room, and he brought it in. So as the coach, maybe it's a little different than the owner, who had always been a little bit politically involved. But largely, yeah, I mean, I haven't seen the rest of it. So if it continues to be a Belichick hit piece, as we discussed in previous weeks, Curtis, I'm curious what Andy's thoughts on this are. I am more convinced than ever that unless there was a miracle, they were firing Bill before the season. They knew this Netflix series was ready to go, and they were ready to move on. They knew it was Bill's last year. They knew Mayo was the replacement, and that was all going into the year before even week one happened.
I think that's the only realistic takeaway. You know, I don't understand how you would have had Bill Belichick as your sitting head coach right now, and this being the production that the Kraft family, Robert, is putting out there. So I agree with you. Even though we were told the opposite. We were told it was an extension signed in August. We were told it was a two-year plan, and then Mayo was going to take over. We were told by Tom Curran and others there were wins all over the schedule. This team was going to be good. This team expected to be good. So how do you fire Bill Belichick if this team goes 11-6?
Okay, I'll work with you guys here.
Work with me.
How about this, Ken? I think we said it. I said it at some point. I've been on every side of this, so I probably said something. But I believe we discussed if the Kraft extension for Bill resembled that of Tom's new deal prior to his final year with the team in 2019, which was initially labeled an extension, if you remember, in the offseason. Mm-hmm. And it actually was the final deal he would sign because in the contract, he got the freedom to leave without being franchised.
Right.
So maybe it was a fireable offense, as we believed and were maybe told that the Patricia Judge fiasco was the last straw. And Kraft, being conservative with the money at times, decided instead of firing Bill and having to pay 2 years of his deal, they would redo a contract, make it his final year, with a dummy year at the end where they could each walk at the end of the season. Would that make sense?
So you think they're not paying Bill right now? Because I don't know factually. I mean it was reported as a two-year extension.
Right. So, or instead of paying him 2 years, I don't know if last year was the final year of his deal. I don't know any of this stuff. All I know is that Robert Kraft, I believe, is paying him this year, but there was, instead of a five-year deal, I don't know. I don't know what the hell they did. All I know is that I believe it's more likely that they could have delayed the Apple release than it is that they knew in October. Because Robert Kraft, before the season, when they had the video board release party, said the team is young and the division is tough.
Mm-hmm.
That was lowering expectations, taking the heat off of Bill Belichick. Only when it really got bad, and it got bad with that shutout at home against the Saints, the brutal game in Dallas. I mean, as ugly as it's ever been here, not even including the 90s with Dale calling games. Like, we're talking as bad as it's ever been. That's what led to it. I don't think it was decided, Ken. I think there was the chance that they could delay the release of this docuseries until he was gone.
I mean, maybe. And I think it's fair to say, I think you both would probably agree, Bill didn't know that it had been decided because he still, you know, probably felt they put out that lucrative multi-year contract, you know.
Well, Bill put that out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he thought, I mean, he was surprised at the whole thing. And I wonder if he shows up at Gillette on 6/12. Do we have any expectation whether he's going to be in the audience for either for, you know, to make amends or to
I think he'll be there with the Pedro-style glare at Dan Duquette.
I think he will be
there.
Or
I'm not Pedro, sorry, Clemens.
I think he'll be there. And this is just projection, not anything I know in terms of scheduling, but I think he'll be there, and I think he'll make it very clear in a Belichickian way, I'm here for Tom Brady and no one else. I'm absolutely here to honor my quarterback that we have, you know, we've kind of patched things up between us personally. I'm here to support him, and that's it.
Especially if Bill is looking for a job, what better person to be associated with than the guy that you can lay claim to drafting and developing and getting on the stage and saying, you know, look at us. We are the reason, not that a-hole over there.
And a guy that will be traveling, supposedly, city to city, meeting with franchises and coaches and everybody every week next year, correct, as the lead broadcaster?
Oh, Tom Brady, right?
Yes. Yeah, like.
And I don't know if you guys have talked about this at all, but are you surprised Vrabel is not a consultant in this organization as opposed to being hired in Cleveland?
I think talent-wise he should be, but I don't think – he already ruined Gerard Mayo to some degree when he became available. The automatic transition of power to Gerard Mayo, to me, got muddier when Vrabel became available because most of the public wanted Vrabel over Mayo. It created a weirdness then. That only magnifies that weirdness if you put that guy upstairs in some booth next to Robert.
I think that's Van Gundy on steroids if you have Mike Vrabel behind Gerard Mayo.
You can't.
And I also think it's more of an Ohio thing. I think that if Ryan Day struggles this year, I think there's a very good chance that Mike Vrabel's the next coach at Ohio State.
Well, what if Mayo struggles? Could he leave?
If Mayo struggles, there is no chance of anything other than a terrible record. Well, Mayo struggles,
Ken, I haven't talked to you this week. So what's going on? Where are you today on the Patriots? What's the plan?
Well, the biggest thing I think I've come around to, if there now appears to me to be a four quarterback tier right in the draft, McCarthy is as good as May in terms of a chance to make it in the NFL.
That's
so
what is being
have
written.
To trade back.
That is being written. He is now a top six pick. I think that's ridiculous, but yes, that is now what's being accepted.
Okay, but if that's being written, it's coming from NFL people. So what are the chances Drake May is a star in the NFL versus J.J. McCarthy? It's got to be close to even, right?
I don't believe that. I think there's a massive divide between the top three and then J.J. McCarthy. But again, if you believe what is being written, and I don't know if that's coming through agents, scouts, misinformation, I don't believe anything I read, see, hear this time.
Well, I'm talking more about the free agency and the Ridley, the not being in on Keenan Allen, the left tackle going to the Jets.
But I think it's all part of their plan, right? That Brissett is here. He's going to be their starter this year. It's a rebuild. It's a bridge. So you would be doing a disservice if that's your plan to not trade back, get an extra first next year, and take the fourth quarterback instead of the third quarterback, which is almost equal of an opportunity to work out in a year or two. So Andy's right. They're going to struggle. So if that's what you've accepted, then why would you stick at three and pick?
But I'm not. I'm not talking about the draft. I'm talking about their financial
approach.
That's
their free agency approach. But that's part of their financial approach.
You heard
Mayo walk it back and say, we don't have to spend it all in 1 year.
They're not spending it all. They have $70 million they can spend. You can spend half of that.
Right. And they liked Ridley, but there's nobody else they liked, I guess. So they're going to wait until next year. So
that's
it? If they hadn't not spent the last 2 years, yes. And that's not automatically the wrong answer.
Who has a worse marketing campaign? The Red Sox, who are pushing their Hall of Fame broadcaster on the radio, or wait till next year?
I think the radio broadcast is a great plan.
I do too. Pre-game show with Rich Keefe straight through the entirety of the broadcast.
Here's the issue, Ken. If you sign a left tackle, like it's the same thing. Our last day down there a couple weeks ago with Greg, we had Kimberl in studio, and I asked him, how does signing a $20 million starting pitcher this year hurt your ability to build a winning team down the line? And he repeated the question just as I asked and then said, hummada, hummada.
No, well, he because said it's going to cost you other, you know, you could put that money somewhere else, is but what he eventually
but
said,
but,
which
but
is true.
He's not. The money's just sitting there. It's going
well,
into John Henry's pocket.
Next year.
They
next
might,
year
but spend. There will be $20 million next year to spend. It doesn't go away.
Well, it becomes $40 million then that you could spend on somebody you actually like. I mean, Jordan Montgomery is 30, 31. He's,
oh, my God.
You're
going to
sign him for
you
7 years
pathetic,
at like $1 billion?
You were lathering me up in Jordan.
That's a fact. Are these teams ready to contend?
Okay,
the answer
Ken,
is no.
The single dumbest argument is to say don't invest in talented players because they're not close to a championship. Why are you allowing this?
You invest in the core and the plan, and Andy was right at the start of this. You don't say full throttle. You actually admit where you are in the process of the rebuild, and then you go about getting fans excited in the youth, the core, and then you spend when you're close.
But
that's not a bad strategy.
That is a self-fulfilling prophecy because the 2001 Patriots, in nobody's orbit, were good enough to contend. You know who they signed that offseason? Brian Cox, who was as instrumental as anybody on that defense. We all remember the hit on Paython over the middle against the Colts in Tom Brady's first career start at the old Foxborough Stadium. That was a tone-setting guy in the middle of that defense that brought an edge that obviously turned out to pay dividends. But should they have just not brought in Brian Cox because they weren't a player away? You were the one sitting in the studio lecturing to me about how great Jordan Montgomery was. Now you're saying it's stupid to invest in him. Like, why not just tell
me? I said 7 years is kind of crazy. And they did sign Taki Taki, and they signed Austin Hooper. So what do you want?
So Ken, like, is your goal – why don't you just wait for the team to do something and say it's a smart move? Like, everything
– Taki
Taki. I mean, it's embarrassing.
Well, pay him $4 million.
But you don't even believe you're up against the break.
Can you go to trending, please?
Okay,
yeah,
right,
you're late.
Let's go to Joe Braverman.
Boss says you're late.
Bye, Ken. Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Okay, resetting here. Bruins are at TD Garden. They're back after their trip to Montreal Thursday night. They won in overtime thanks to Jake DeBrusk. They are hosting the Philadelphia Flyers tonight. Puck drop set for 7 o'clock. As for the Celtics, they will be in the nation's capital tomorrow evening to take on the Wizards. Left tackle Tyron Smith, whom the Patriots quote-unquote had interest in, is signing with the New York Jets on a one-year deal for a base salary of $6.5 million. The incentives could drive that up to $20 million. Some other moves in the NFL, Jimmy Garoppolo is the new backup in LA as he signs with the Rams. The Steelers are trading quarterback Kenny Pickett to the Eagles for a third and seventh round draft pick. And the Rams defensive tackle Aaron Donald announced his retirement after 10 seasons at age 32. Red Sox defeated the Twins last night, 8-5 your final score. Rafael Devers and Jaron Duran among those with home runs. Garrett Whitlock threw a shutout over 4 1/3 innings. Kenley Jansen did allow 3 earned runs in only 2/3 of an inning. Spring training continues today as the Sox play the Braves in their spring breakout game. That means you'll see the best prospects from Atlanta and from Boston. You can hear Will Fleming and Rob Bradford on the call today at 1:05 right here on 93.7 WEIFM. And championship week wraps up in men's college basketball this weekend. 3 of the top 10 teams lost last night as Tennessee, Arizona, and Kentucky were upset in their conference tournament games. You can listen to Westwood One's coverage of the Big East Finals between Marquette and UConn here on 93.7 FM beginning at 6:15 following KJ and Lions. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Final half hour or so, Ken and Curtis. Ken has joined us from the booth of JetBlue Park. And where are you? Are you guys at the, you're not in FGCU land. You're down on the water, right, Ken? Where you're staying?
Yeah, we are at, I don't know this area that well, so I don't have a good answer for
you. I don't
either.
We're south. Yeah, it's an area where you feel perpetually lost because every street looks like one you've ridden on before, but you have no idea. Like, I usually am decent with where I am in the world, but, like, after a day or two, I can kind of find my way. In Fort Myers, I was Google mapping my ass off.
I just hate it. You keep ripping it.
East Coast is better.
I mean, the East Coast of Florida, it's like a different country compared to the West Coast.
Jeez,
but
snob.
Well, it's a reality. Anyway, what's going on? So today you're at the game, the Futures game. Right now?
Futures game, prospects, yep, game. Will Fleming just came in. Lou is here with Dave O'Brien, so the who's who of broadcasting in Boston, assembling around us.
And big one. You're going to be with clients in the suite, gallivanting and schmoozing?
We will be, and then a big water slide contest later that's being emceed by Tom Caron, so, you know, they're pulling out all the stops for us.
Are you doing it?
I may do it. If ordered to do so by my boss, I will do so.
Well, shirtless?
Oh.
That's the only way I can win. That's my hidden tactic.
Who got the drunkest last night?
It was pretty tame. I mean, it was Joe's celebration, really. Joe signed the Hall of Fame baseballs for all our clients. We had a nice dinner.
Joe's in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard that. So we were celebrating Joe. Everybody kept it together last night. We'll see tonight.
Awesome. Well, So you are saying right now, doesn't matter what the Patriots do, more is less. Take a year, win the draft, and then figure it out next year. That's kind of your plan.
Yeah, I mean, I know you got all upset there, but don't you guys, on its fundamentals, if these teams hadn't been cheap in the last 3 or 4 years, if this was just in a vacuum heading into the year, wouldn't you agree the better approach would be build for next year? That's the year you really can contend. It's a 2-year plan at this point, yes?
You can't do that with Calvin Ridley?
Right.
Brian Burns? Or
like, how does Tyler that
end? Obviously, they tried to a point. I would like to see Yamamoto on the team. Didn't happen. I would like to see Ridley on this the team. Didn't happen.
So then why are you excusing it and saying it makes sense?
I'm just saying you then can't rip. You can rip them for not getting those guys, but then to say, well, they just should spend for the sake of spending on junk is faulty. So
okay, but that's but here's the issue, Ken. You're receiving the vitriol, but it's really. There is like a 30-year-old, and I want to talk to you about a Fourier tweet last night, which I thought was really good about the Dynasty series. But there is this like millennial or pre-millennial Boston sports fan mindset, which is parroting what you've been saying. They're not good enough yet, so why would you waste the money? Well, they're charging the highest ticket prices, and how do you know how far away they are? And why is it ever the wrong time to bring in a talented player to your organization? Like, using that mindset, what are we doing here? How long will you wait to be close to contending if you're not continually adding pieces to your roster? Like the Falcons today, right? We don't know if they're any good. Who the hell knows? But people think their roster is pretty good. The Bucs, before they got Brady, Ken, you tell me all the time, they were a quarterback away because they kept adding and adding and adding and adding.
Houston is the perfect example.
The Texans, right.
C.J. Stroud changed everything. They were a top five picking team who everybody thought was just crap, and you add the right quarterback, and suddenly Nico Collins looks better, and Tank Dell, the guy you draft, looks better because the quarterback is right.
So then why is that the wrong approach?
Each league has its own peculiarities. As you would acknowledge, the Mets spent a lot of money last year. They didn't win junk. So that doesn't mean you shouldn't spend to win, but it doesn't always equal wins.
Who's saying it always equals wins? I'm saying I'd rather the money on the field and not in the owner's pocket.
Okay, but if the owner is eventually going to spend it...
How do you know? What evidence do we have of that with Robert Kraft after a decade of being last?
All we have are 10 championships between the two franchises
that
have earned a little bit of patience. So you don't want to hear that, but there are a lot of cities in America that have franchises and owners who are terrible, deplorable, and don't you agree it's a little irrational to think these teams are going to win every year? And
why do you think Alabama football, why do you think Kansas basketball, why do you think the Yankees are always competitive? Because the fan base
are always competitive?
Yeah, when was the last time they were under 500?
Perfect example. They spent on Rodon last year. He broke down. Garrett Cole's going under the knife this year.
Tell me the last time the Yankees finished in last place.
Tell me the last time they won.
No, I'm asking you, when was the last time the Yankees finished in last place?
Okay, so that's what it's about, not finishing last, or is it about titles?
Not bottoming out.
Well, there's some entertainment.
Here's the issue, Ken. The reason teams, the teams that I just referenced, there's a demand and a thirst from the fan base that is not satisfied by teams that don't put an effort into each season in committing both resources and actual time and proper coaching into the product. And the fans that say it's okay... In my entire life here, I have never understood the new fan approach saying, oh, it's okay, we'll get them next year. Well, what are you going to do this year?
This year, you're going to watch Rafi Devers, who they spent $313 million on, which, you know, it gets ignored. He's one of the highest paid players in the game. And they have Brian Bayo, and they have Tristan Casas, and they have Jaron Duran, and they're hoping for breakout years. And then when those guys show you who they are, they're going to add accordingly. This is not, I actually don't think the Red Sox are as bad as people say. They're not going to win the division, obviously. But I'm kind of interested to watch the young guys. That's just me. I mean, if you want to just, you know, yell at the clouds that they haven't signed anybody.
Well, they haven't.
Oh, so you think that you're in the majority, Ken?
I didn't say I'm in the majority.
Well, I'm yelling at clouds. I mean, I'm yelling at the audience that agrees with me.
Okay. That's fine.
But
so
do you
I'm
think,
in the minority.
So
fine.
You think they're entertaining? Because I always fall back to, on some level, yes, you're always competing for a title and to be the best and to win the division and all of that. But it's also on a night-to-night basis, entertainment. So you're trying to lure me into caring, lure me into watching. Do you think this team is one that is luring people into watching?
Okay, let's look at the infield. Do you think Devers, Trevor Story, Vaughn Grissom, when he's healthy, and Casas is an interesting infield?
Vaughn Grissom injured, Chris Sale healthy.
And Trevor Story, right. I think, is the most overrated player in the city. Like, I've never cared about Trevor Story. You brought him here to push somebody else out the door. You tried to pretend he was a great player and a great contract when he wasn't. The guy at first base can't play first base, and he's a one-year wonder. Maybe he'll earn the reputation that a lot of people are giving him, but right now,
and
he's
already
a one-year guy.
And he's already pitching about his contract.
True, true. You said they haven't signed him.
He'll hit 35 homers this year. I think he's the real deal.
Okay, and I heard that about Dahlbeck 3 years ago or whatever the year it was. 2 years ago.
Ken, do you feel more confident about that take or that DeVante Parker was a top 10 receiver with the Patriots?
They misused Parker. He's going to be a top 10 receiver.
And Grissom, they brought in to play second base. He can't field a ball, apparently. That's why the Braves got rid of him.
I mean, candidly, Ken, nobody's been more wrong than you have on the Red Sox or the Patriots the last 3 years.
They did sign Taki Taki, and they signed Austin Hooper. So
you keep saying that, and no one cares.
So last offseason, you said the Patriots were going to win 11 games, right?
By the way, I didn't say that again. I don't know how Braverman clipped that and played it, but that's a fact.
Facts are boring sometimes. I thought that was live, too. Well done, Braverman. It caused me to yell at him. That was one of the best.
They did sign Taki Taki, and they signed Austin Hooper, so what do you want?
So, when Ken's not here, that does you don't know that it's not. Well, yeah, anyway, but
I mean, I'm being sarcastic, but they have retained. Let's go back to the Patriots. Kendrick Bourne, good retaining, right?
Not really. I mean,
it's fine, but they're a 4-win team that's picking third overall.
Well, that's why I'm saying trade down, get extra picks. Yes,
get a quarterback.
Do you find it all concerning, Ken, that a team that refused to pay for core guys when they were winning Super Bowls is now doing everything they can to retain a team that really didn't have a core?
But we agree the defense was good. It's a good idea to retain those guys. Yes?
We're not talking about defense, are we?
Well, they resigned
Hunter Henry, Kendrick Bourne.
They resigned Uche. They are keeping Duggar around. Well, those were all questions we had throughout the year.
Yeah, it's funny. All of a sudden, the guy who couldn't draft, everybody wants to keep all the guys he drafted.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. What do you think? What do you think if you had to guess today, over under wins for the Patriots this year?
Ugh.
Four and a
13.
Half. 4.5. Set the line at 4.5. You taking the over or the under?
Yeah, I mean, I would go slightly over, but only slightly. They're going to be a bad team. I mean, I don't disagree, but patience. I agree with the patient approach for the Red Sox and the Patriots based on where they are right now. I'm willing to be patient. If you're not, I understand,
but
I am.
What were the last 4 years?
Right.
Well, they fired the coach who was mostly responsible for those 4 years.
Well, now we see that it was really the owner. I mean, the approach to this offseason. By the way, I would love your thoughts on this. We were trying to figure out now in hindsight that the burning cash quote obviously didn't come to fruition. What do you think happened there? Do you think that was – so my new theory today, Ken, is that when I asked that question, Jerod Mayo was being defensive of his new boss. That, you know, get off of Robert's back in so many words. Like, we're going to spend. We're going to burn cash. You don't have to worry about us spending. Like, it wasn't this premeditated full throttle. It was just Jerod at the end of the interview trying to be, you know, optimistic, but mainly trying to be protective of Robert.
Well, sorry. I thought you had a second
point. No, I was just wondering. It's okay. I get lost in the sun, too.
No, I think Jerod thought they were going to spend, and somebody came to him and said, we're not ready to spend, so dial it back. This is a project.
But it was a month later before he told Karen that he was wrong.
Yeah. There were a lot of players that got retained by their teams that could have been free agents that didn't as well, right? Maybe they got word of that happening. I mean, Andy knows the free agent market better, but weren't there targets that we thought might have been targets that were no longer available?
Evans, a couple wide receiver tags, Pittman. Like, yeah, there were guys that weren't necessarily available, but there were guys that were available. And you set the tone, and we all fixate on Jerod saying something stupid, which, fine. Okay, that was the whole thing. He also, I believe, in that interview, didn't he guarantee a better record?
He did.
Okay, so he takes the over on my 4.5. He guarantees at least 5. He also...
And as you can tell from Ken, when I talk to people, I get them to say things they regret.
That's a good sign. But... we also need to loop in Elliott Wolf saying they were going to weaponize. Like, he contributed to the excitement of the offseason prior to free agency.
I didn't appreciate that analogy in today's climate.
Weapons of mass destruction.
Right. Hey, Ken, somebody agrees with you, so I'm going to take it.
What?
Charlie in Boston.
Right.
Hey, Charlie.
Thank you, Charlie.
Hey, how you doing? I called earlier this week, and you yelled at me, and it's okay. But Ken's saying exactly what I'm saying. Like, it's not the time to spend. If you're going, we're back in. I know it sucks, but reset the clock. We're back on the first date. Are you bringing your date to Capitol Grill? No, you have to see what you got first.
I would go to Capitol Grill. Great spot.
Do I want to retain her?
Yeah, but what if she's dumpster? What if she's dumpster fire? She's terrible.
Well, then it'd be what I deserve. No, Charlie, here.
It's a waste of money.
I understand what you're saying.
You don't even go to dinner. You set up like a drink date, you know?
Those always work for me. Charlie, so why would spending this year impede the ability to spend next year?
Because you have less money to spend next year.
How? The cap goes up. If you believe in it, it goes up $20 million every year. This year it went up $50 million. So how would it impact you next year?
I just think, you know, like, you don't really, I mean, I know.
So you don't have an answer to
that. You need to spend, but I don't think that, I just don't think Calvin Ridley was, like, the answer.
Nobody said he was. Right. Nobody said he was Jerry Rice reincarnated.
He was an available option to make you better.
See, that's the issue, is that. For the life of me, I mean, maybe it was because of the 90s and the Jacobs and everybody hated the Harrington Trust and Yaki Trust and all this stuff. Like, I get it. Like, it was a different time and everything. I literally never remember anybody calling this radio station when I was growing up, yelling at the team for spending money. They might yell at the team and said, you should have spent it on X, mm-hmm. not on Trot Nixon. But there was never a desire to say, no. I want you know, the Jacobs to take more money. I don't understand that mindset. The money is still available next year. It's not off the books.
But you would agree, though, Curtis, that in the NFL, largely over the last 20 years, the teams that win free agency don't win Super Bowls. That's not where it's won.
Sure.
Yes?
Okay.
Because right. bad teams have the most money because they need to spend it, the whole thing.
But here's what I'll tell you. The Patriots, in the offseason after Cam Newton's season, first year here, they had 7 wins. And then they went to 10. They gained 3 wins after spending the most they ever had in free agency. They had a lot of misses, but Matthew Judon, unbelievable home run. Hunter Henry, good signing.
Yep.
They did some things that they would have been unable to do, and they didn't win a championship. But did you rip the Patriots for spending in 2020 at the conclusion of the next season? Or I believe you sat where I am right now and said, it was a great start, they got to keep investing. You said that, and I remember it.
Well, I agree, but that's a great point. It's different to go from 8 or 9 wins to 11 or 12 by spending, and where we think they are now, which is 5 wins to 8. Like, why waste your money to jump from 5 to 8 wins? Don't you want to wait until you're close to get you over the threshold?
But again, it's not necessarily a waste of money. You can go sign good players that'll be here in 2 years, and it's also not like baseball. You brought up the Montgomery deal. I agree with you. I would not give Jordan Montgomery. I heard Bradford throw like 7 and 200 out there. Okay, I'm on the hook for that. I'm on the hook for that. In football, I'm not on the hook for anything. They're non-guaranteed contracts. I can give Calvin Ridley $50 million guaranteed and cut him in 2 years, and he walks away, and we're fine.
But that's it, right? But, oh, God, it takes me 2 hours.
Is that a good thing?
Wait, hold on 1 second.
Because he's a better player than you have, so you're more talented, and you give your quarterback that you put behind center a chance to throw to somebody who can catch.
And you invest the fans.
They're not putting it behind center. They're playing Jacoby Brissett. That is your quarterback for the entire season. I mean, they're paying him $8
million. Oh, my God.
They are not playing the rookie. They're not playing a rookie this year.
But here, let me go back because, as always, it takes me almost the entire show to come up with a decent point. But in 2020, that offseason, Charlie in Boston, Ken in Brighton, all the people that have called this radio station that have said, too early to spend, what's the point, were celebrating.
Yeah.
They were partying in the streets. Do you remember Patriots Twitter? It was 6 to midnight for a full month when they had that offseason. Why was nobody yelling at the Patriots then for spending on a team that wasn't close to winning, Ken?
We thought they signed good players.
No. They were not close to winning. You agree.
They were close to winning. They were in the playoffs the year before, yes?
They were 7-9. They were an awful offensive team in the NFL. That offseason, nobody said they're one offseason away from contending, yet the team spent like drunken sailors. And none of the people
and
that
what
I
was the result.
And none
and
of
what
the,
was the result.
They went up 3 games and they made the playoffs. What do you think the
and
result
got their
was?
Had doors a lot of bad blown contracts. Off.
What do you
and I thought Jonnu Smith was going to be a star and he stunk.
Right.
So
they're
obviously buyer beware on who they're spending money on.
So because Jonnu Smith sucked means Calvin Ridley will suck?
No, the people are being transparently fraudulent. The Patriots spent on a team that wasn't good enough to contend, and everybody celebrated it. Now they're not spending on a team that's good enough to contend, and people are saying it's the smart move. Those people are the people you shouldn't listen to because they're just honks.
So there, 2 things can be true. I could want them to sign Calvin Ridley, be upset they didn't. Great. but then not want them to spend a fortune on Keenan Allen or whoever the next, you know, Hollywood Brown is, because that's not going to make a difference on this team. So I agree. I wish they had signed Ridley. I wish the Red Sox had signed Yamamoto. They missed for whatever reason. Was it a money thing? I don't know. Was it Calvin Ridley didn't want to come here? Didn't seem like he wanted. I mean, he was playing them the whole time. He didn't want to come to New England.
Well, no, the rumor was that he wanted to go to Jacksonville.
His family kept him in Jacksonville.
But then
he went to Tennessee.
That's like when Roger Clemens went closer to home in Canada.
Right.
Anyway, all right, we're going to wrap it up with Ken next. We got lines jacked. What's at noon today, Kenny?
Brad Foe Show right here from JetBlue.
Baseball is never boring. Coming up next.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's a beautiful day.
This brings me back, brings us all back to the 2001 Patriots, obviously. The soundtrack of that team, for whatever reason, maybe because the halftime show in New Orleans with Bono and U2. Awesome. Was it Where the Streets Have No Name, when the names of all the passengers and the deceased from 9/11 came down?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. What? And then the American flag on the inside of the jacket.
Considered the greatest halftime show in Super Bowl history, unfairly so because of the circumstances.
Right. I would say the emotional component of that, I will never not get goosebumps thinking of it. But the one thing I was, Ken had to run, big day down there. I just got a video. I got to say, I wish he was worse, not awful in the batting practice video I got. But
who was better, him or Mike?
I will say Mike, and Ken did very well.
Smart man.
Yep. Well, that bread's buttered. The one thing I was going to bring up to Ken, which I ran out of time with, was the Fourier tweet. And I'm looking forward to it. I think Christian's back Monday with Gresh 10 to 2 here on WEEI. And Christian tweeted about the difference in reaction to the coaching of Bill Belichick that you hear. By the way, a texter mentioned this. If you haven't seen Man in the Arena, and you're looking for more of like a season-by-season championship year introspective with players that were relevant, is spectacular. It's kind of America's Game on steroids in terms of you have, I think each episode has two former players. So like there's Brewski and Rodney Harrison, there's Lawyer and Ty. Like right. It's really, really well done where you break down specific plays. They talk about the drama of Lawyer Malloy leaving, Brady Bledsoe, all that. But it is really well done, and it's much more about on the field and what they were dealing with than a lot of the other superfluous stuff in Dynasty.
But they don't skip entire like seasons and Super Bowls.
Right. They don't show. It's the only time I've ever seen Super Bowl 51 where they're like, just show the ending. Like, what are we doing?
It's amazing to me that, and they skip the final season altogether. Right. They go from the Super Bowl to Brady's gone, and it's like, well, there was a season, there was a playoff game, there was a pick six.
Those pregame meetings, so none of those are ever recorded? It's all off, like, so the one that calls
production meetings?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, there's no recording.
Because I always wondered about, like, the behind the scenes, because that was also, sorry, Collinsworth not saying that on the air and then waiting and telling Dan Patrick? What a weird.
Very weird.
How do you not begin with that?
Well, there's a weird dynamic to those. Like, we learned it with the Bill Belichick, Josh Allen, MVP, I don't get the hype
right
thing of what they're telling you, how you express what they're telling you. Are you quoting them? Are you just sort of throwing it in there as flavor, your own thoughts? There is a weird vagueness to what is on, off the record, quote, don't quote, flavor in those meetings. But, yeah, they're not recorded. And that was – see, I have no problem that he didn't say it in the broadcast, but then to say it late, like, so you're still outing it.
Right, totally.
So if you're going to out it for me on my broadcast.
And the it's also interesting, it's kind of Skull and Bones-ish in that, like, this club is all, so, like, Troy Aikman sat in production meetings with Terry Bradshaw, and now Troy Aikman is in the booth having production meet. Like, it's all the same people, just they just graduate into, like, Romo was in them, now he's having them, all that. And Coach Cowher was in them, and now he's conducting them.
Oh, and Brady's going to be in them, and he's part owner of the Raiders.
Right.
Wait, what?
That's like, a little odd. Anyway, to tie the Fourier tweeted that the old players didn't bitch, the new ones did about how Belichick coached them, and that it was a generational divide. And I think that was something that Matt Light spoke to with Greg a couple years ago about how it's just different with Bill. You can't practice as much, and the players don't want to be coached.
And it's, I would love to talk with Christian about that, and I'm on with them on Wednesdays. Maybe we'll be able to get into that in my 1220 hit. Because I think some of it's generational, some of it's circumstantial. You had some older players that were more just sort of relying on the Patriots to steal a ring or change the end of their careers. Like there are a lot of dynamics at play that I think you could talk your way through on that topic. What is the difference between the age, the type of player, and how willing they are to throw Bill? Matthew Slater and Devin McCourty basically throwing Bill under the bus. That's one of the great takeaways from this. The most trusted, perfect leaders of the time now are like, well, he was a jerk and there was hypocrisy there and we hated it.
But that's why Brady being there was essential, because no matter what you felt, no matter how you believed that you disagreed with the politics, disagreed with the way he spent money, with the fact that you had to every year beg for your supper, you had the guy that you believed was, if healthy, going to bring you to a potential Super Bowl.
Right.
So you had to buy in. You did the hills.
And somebody said that. Bleep it. Let's just go win. This sucks, but let's just go win.
I think that was Amendola.
Yeah.
But either way, Andy, always a pleasure. Thank you.
See ya.
Have a great St. Patrick's Day tomorrow. Be safe. The baseball isn't boring with the never boring Rob Bradford. Next, Greg Hill Show back Monday, hopefully, with Greg Hill.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.